The following message is presented to you by Grace Baptist Church in Kettering, Ohio.
I want to jump into the Word of God tonight, and my heart is to encourage. And I had a message that I wanted to speak along the lines of what we heard this morning, but from a little different angle. And I want you to go to 1 John chapter number 1. Now, at the beginning of the year, I did an exposition of 1 John, went through all the way through verse by verse. So this message tonight is not intended to dive deep into the book of 1 John. You can go back and listen to that if you'd like to hear this in the full flow of chapter 1. I want to specifically focus on verse number 7, where it says, 1 John, well, actually, let's start at verse number 5. This, then, is the message which we have heard of Him, from Jesus Christ, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, these things write unto you, that ye sin not, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And specifically focusing on verse number 7, walk in the light. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Jesus, we ask You tonight to speak to our hearts and to encourage us. Thank You for my church family. Thank You for the love that each has for one another. I thank You that that is growing in us. And I pray that this year it would continue to grow. And I pray for those that are hurting, and Lord, those that have lost and are on the threshold of losing loved ones, Lord, I just ask that You comfort them. And as was testified tonight, that Your grace would be abundant in their lives, that You would lift them up and give them the strength, and that You would give them Your presence especially. Thank You for what You'll do in our hearts tonight through this passage of Scripture. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, light is indispensable, isn't it? If we had no power here, we would wonder about meeting. Why? Because light is indispensable. We need light in order to carry on. Thankfully, in these days, we have different ways of creating light through battery power and so forth. But light is indispensable. In fact, as you think about light, light was the very first thing that God created, wasn't it? Let there be light. And there was light. The very first thing that He created on earth, the very first thing that planet Earth saw was light. That the universe saw, I should say, was light. God gave us light. He created light, and from Him came this light. Now, tonight, as we look at this passage of Scripture, verse number 7, I want us to think about walking in the light. As the message is titled, Illuminated Living. Living in a way that is reflective of the light that God would have us to walk in. Walking in the light as He is in the light. Walking with God in the light. God calls every believer, you and I, He calls us to walk in the light with Him. He wants us to. This year, He wants you and I to walk in the light with Him. Now, that's not something you're going to stumble into accidentally. It's going to be something that you choose to do. He wants you and calls you to walk in the light. Now, as we heard this morning, it's so important that we have a hunger, a passion for the presence of God. That's a big part of what we're even talking about tonight. If you want to walk in the light, have a passion for God. Have a desire, have an unquenchable desire to be near to God and to be near to His truth. God is calling you this year to walk in the light. He wants you to. He wants me to. Now, what does that mean for us? What's this walk going to look like in our lives? From verse number 7 and then 5 through 7, I want you to notice a deliberate walk. It's going to be a deliberate walk. You're going to choose to walk in the light. You're going to choose to live in an illuminated sort of way. You're going to choose to follow after the light that God is giving us. It's going to be a deliberate choice. It's first of all going to be a choice to forsake on darkness. Now, sadly enough, as children of the light, as God He calls us and titles that of us in Ephesians, it is possible for you and I to actually walk in darkness. The Bible says here in verse number 5, "This then is the message that we have heard of Him and declare unto you, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." Now he goes on to say, if we say we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we lie, we're not telling the truth. It is possible for us to walk in darkness. You say, now, Pastor Kagan, I've heard a lot of preachers talk and come to 1 John, and they will talk about this being a test of whether you're saved or not. I want you to notice something here in 1 John. And if you remember our series, 1 John is specifically written to believers. I want you to notice in verse number 7, "But if we walk in the light," verse number 6, "then if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." I want you to notice just the simple terminology that there is. He's talking about a group of believers. I want you to notice verse number 1 of chapter 2. My little children. All the way throughout the book of 1 John, we find that John, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is referring to believers, to those that are in the family of God. My little children, we, as a group of believers, it is very important as you would study 1 John, as you would read 1 John, that you would approach it as a book that is written to believers, not as a test of whether you're saved or not, but a book that is given to bring about assurance. If you're doubting your salvation, you ought to read 1 John. Why? 1 John 5 and verse 13, would you turn over there for a moment? "These things have I written unto you that believe." That believe. We're not talking about folks that don't believe, but "unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." And so here is the key verse of 1 John that is telling us, hey, I'm writing to believers who might be struggling with their salvation, and I'm trying to come along and help you not struggle by getting sin out of your lives and by helping you to walk in the light as He is in the light, and so on. So 1 John is written to believers, and that is important to understand as we talk about this darkness that we can walk in. Darkness. It's the absence of light. It's the opposite of light. It's the sense of evil and walking in the realm of evil, walking in the realm of what pleases Satan, what is the realm of the world, the things that are against God and opposite of God's of word and of His truth. It's possible for us to walk in darkness. That is why Paul says to the Ephesian believers in Ephesians 5 and verse 8, "For ye were sometimes darkness." Before you were saved, you're sometimes darkness. Do you remember that day? Do you remember when everything was dark to you? Everything was twisted to you? You could turn anything that was pure into something that was impure? Do you remember those days? Do you remember, or even as you go to work, guys, you look at these individuals, the co-workers you work around, and they can twist anything? And their minds are twisted? "For sometimes ye were darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." There's a difference. There's a difference. Now the fact is, he said, you are light in the Lord, but here's what you need to do as a believer who is a child of light. You need to walk in the light. This is the choice that you must make. You must make this choice to forsake the darkness. Now there's a lot of things that are attractive in the darkness. There's a lot of things the world throws at us. As solid believers, we can be attracted to walk in darkness. I think about the humanism that is about. We were talking with Caleb and Christine as they were down here, and we're really enjoying some fellowship with them. And they're talking about some of the marriage books that are out there and some that are suggested to read, and coming across through these books and finding some humanistic teaching inside of the marriage books, guiding your marriage by what is popular according to the human mind, human philosophy. You know how dangerous this is. When we allow humanistic thinking to come into our lives, where it becomes all about me being the center of everything, where it's my comfort, my convenience, I am my own God. I remember years ago, and I don't know that it's so much the case now is the slogan, but YouTube used to be "broadcast yourself." Hey, get it out there. Let everyone know who you are. Let everyone know about you. And it's a very humanistic philosophy. My comfort, my convenience becomes a priority. Even to Christians. Christians can be attracted to that kind of lifestyle. A lifestyle that is worldly. A dark way of living. I think in our culture today, so much is put on the career and advancing and I'm being set in life. You know that the highest priority for our children is not to make sure that they're set for life, but to make sure that they're godly. And the world comes along and says, but you know what? If they're godly and they don't have a good career, then you've missed it. No, if they have a good career and they're not godly, they've missed it. And we've missed it. And how important it is for us not to imbibe this walking in darkness where we're focused on the world's goals and the world's way of thinking about life. The priority is godliness. Do you believe that if your children seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, that all these things shall be added unto them? Well, we need to teach them that. As grandparents, you need to encourage that and support that and teach that. As members in this church, let's promote that and encourage that in one another. As parents, let's encourage godliness in the children. I think about prosperity. Many believe and are being taught by popular religious teachers that God's blessing is equal to prosperity. If you have the blessing of God on your life, you're going to be wealthy. You're going to be rich. That's not true. That's a worldly way of thinking. That is a way of catering to the culture. Now, does God ever bless? Absolutely, He blesses. He blesses more than we can believe. He daily loads us with benefits. And for some, He gives great financial wealth a lot of times because He knows they can handle it and they'll be good stewards of it. Do you understand? He does bless people. And He blesses us way beyond finances. But in the world's mind, we think that if God is blessing me, then I'm going to have everything I absolutely want or ever need in the form of finances. That's a worldly way of thinking. We ought to follow God no matter what, not walk in the darkness that the world brings about and saying, I got to have prosperity, living for the here and now. Think of something that really entraps many believers is just getting our sights focused too low. There's a, I don't know the hymn number, but there's a chorus in our hymnal that says, living with eternity's values in view. It's a chorus. With eternity's values in view, Lord. Help me live that way. Not for the here and now. And this seems attractive to us. And we get pulled into that. And our young people get pulled into that. But how important it is for us to live for eternity. Not walk in darkness, living down here, running circles down here, but live for eternity. There was a man that flew, Doc Hall was his name. He had a private aircraft, and he would fly, and he was flying up in Alaska, beautiful area, and he flew really close to the ground. He was flying so low, and he came to this area, Devil's Creek, Alaska. Does anyone know where that is? Guess not. But Devil's Creek, Alaska. He was struck by this bear that he saw down there rummaging through the trash. And evidently, he found out later, evidently this bear had been rummaging through the trash, and there was a little bit of a story about this large bear. This large bear continued to walk around that area. As it had rummaged through the trash, it had gotten a hold of this 20-pound coffee tin and had slipped it over its head. You ever see a cat slip something over its head and just go bonkers? You know, it's hilarious. But this bear had done this, and it couldn't get the thing off. And I don't know about you, I'm not going to help a bear get it off. But it couldn't get this off. And the people said that this bear walked like some 500 miles and just walking the area, wearing pads throughout Devil's Creek, Alaska, and walking around with this thing stuck on its head. I mean, just walking and wearing the trail after trail. And it just kept on walking in circles. You know, it's a little bit like us. When we walk in the darkness that the world brings into our life, the former lifestyle, the former way of thinking, the philosophies of this world, we're just like that bear walking around in circles, doing nothing for God, doing nothing to help us grow and go forward in life. We're walking in darkness. How important it is that we would forsake and shun darkness in our life, shun the walking in darkness, but walk in the light. I want you to notice here in verse number 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light. But if, it's your choice. It's going to mean that you and I this year embrace walking in the light. It's going to be something I choose to do. It's going to be something I do deliberately. And I have to do it just as much as you. Every believer has to make this choice to walk in the light, to embrace the light. If I choose to walk with God tomorrow, if I walk with God tomorrow, it's going to be because I chose to. Not because I happened to, but because I chose to. If I'm going to walk in the light tomorrow, it's going to be because I chose to. It's not going to be by accident. And I believe that we need to think of it that way and understand that walking in the light as He is in the light is a choice. It's something that I choose to do. Light is the opposite of darkness. In this sense, it's the idea of spotless living or holy living. Now, I'm not saying sinless perfection, and that's not what's being taught here. But it's walking in a way that would honor God, in a way that is blameless. It's walking with the same mindset as what Peter told the believers, "Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord." That's walking in the light. Verse number 5 here says, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Those are some pretty absolute statements. God is light. There's no definite article there. And the idea is that God, in essence, is light. He is completely holy. He's completely spotless. He's completely blameless. There is no darkness in Him at all. As one man said, physically it represents glory. Intellectually it represents truth. Morally, His holiness. That's what it means when God is light. He is truth. He is holiness. He is glory. Not even a speck of darkness in God. No ignorance, no error, no untruthfulness, no sin, no death. There's not even a speck there. God is completely light. He is completely holy, and He calls us to walk in that same way. In the light of who He is. Walking in the light. It's walking according to, and I would that you'd write this down. It's walking according to who God is and what He wants. It's walking in according to who God is and what He wants. Saying, oh, God is holy, so I will be holy. Oh, God is truthful, so I will speak the truth at all times. Oh, God is loving, so I will be loving. I will love even when it's hard to love. I will love even when it's a deliberate choice to love. And I want you to realize that who God is and what God wants is revealed in Scripture. And let's pull back to the Psalms and remember the common verse, Psalm 119:105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Remember that the walking in the light is going to be closely aligned with our relationship with the Word of God. The Scripture reveals to us how we are to walk. It reveals to us who God is and what He wants from us. So God's Word is key to an illumined living. God's Word is key to you walking in the light as He is in the light. Oh, it's key. It's what allows us to walk in the light as He is in the light. Psalm 119:130, "The entrance of Thy words," do you remember it? "Giveth light." Giveth light. Do you need clarity? Do you need to be able to see your way through the world? Is there some confusion being brought in by some counsel from others? Get to the Word. Because the entrance of God's Word into my heart gives light. It tells me who God is and what He wants from me. It tells me who God is and what He wants from me. And that is essential to illumined living. This walk can't be sporadic. It has to be daily. It has to be daily. That's something God calls us to do. He didn't call His disciples to follow Him on the weekend. He called them to follow Him daily. "I want you to be with me daily." And they were. Did they always walk with Him perfectly? Absolutely not. Did they fight sometimes? Absolutely. Were they a rough group to get along with? They sure were. Did they doubt a lot? Yeah. Did they go back on their word? Yep, that too. Did they have a lot of ambition and pride? Yeah. Were they rash in their speech? Remember when James and John said, "Hey, why don't you call down fire from heaven and scorch those guys?" They were called the Sons of Thunder. Some interesting guys. But He called them to walk with Him daily. And as they walk with Him daily, we see that God began to refine them and change them. I want you to notice that walking with God daily, this daily walk that we need to have, it's needed. I need it. You need it this year. We need it. Let's think about this. I need to be in the Word of God every single day of this year. I hope that's your goal. Now, I realize, and I want to just say this, because I have Is it a sin to miss a day? Trick question. Not really. Sometimes you miss brushing your teeth someday. Some days. Maybe. Is anyone going to admit to that? No. You know, missing a day brushing your teeth isn't going to be the end of the world for one day, but it's going to lead to cavities pretty soon. Missing reading God's Word one day, you might be able to get on without it that day, but I want you to understand something. It's going to lead to problems in your life pretty quick. In fact, you'll likely notice them within that day. I want to be careful. I want you to know my heart in encouraging us to be in God's Word. It's not so much about a plan. It's really much more about having a walk with God, getting something from God's Word that makes a difference in your life and that illumines your heart. So it's not so much you got, boy, you ought to feel guilty if you missed your plan today. That's not where we're going for. You ought to feel guilty if you didn't meet with your God. Now, you don't have something illuminating your heart. I hope that makes sense. It's needed. I want to tell you why it's needed. The Bible says here, if we walk in the light, there's a whole lot resting on this if. First of all, pleasing God. I was reading in the Bible, Micah 6 and verse 8, He hath shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy. Do you remember the last part? And to walk humbly with thy God. God said it's required. If you're going to please me, it's required that you walk humbly with thy God. Boy, if you're going to please God, you're going to have to walk with him. Walk with him in the light of his word. Walk with him daily. You need it. I need it. Boy, if we're going to walk with him and live with God, I want you to notice that it's also needed in this way for stability. Psalm 37, verse 31. The law of God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. There's a lot of things that will cause us to stumble in this world. But God says, if I walk with him, then my steps aren't going to slide. I'm not going to lose my footing. I'm not going to be concerned when some other Christian comes along and says, you know, I've been hearing this man teach something, and I really think that this is the way to go now. You say, no, wait a minute. I've been reading in Scripture, and this is what the Bible says, and I believe that that is doctrinal error, and I believe that this is truth. God keeps you from sliding. His word, being in your heart, keeps you from sliding. D.L. Moody said, a Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. There's a lot of things that can pull at us, cause us to trip. But if we'll be in the Word of God, walking with Him in the light of His Word, well, what a difference that'll make. Lots resting on this if we walk with God. I want you to notice that our protection, the protection of our heart, of our spirit, of our minds. Proverbs 30 and verse 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield to them that put their trust in Him. His words are pure. And they'll guard our hearts. If we'll read it, it'll guard our hearts. I want you to notice that it brings about true success in our lives. Joshua 1 and verse 8, if you know it, quote it out loud with me. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now the success that the world talks about isn't true, but the success that God talks about when we walk with Him in the light of His Word is absolutely true. I need to be in His Word day and night, as Joshua challenged the people of Israel. I need Thee every hour. I need Thee every hour. You need them. Let's make this a year where we walk in the conscious state, I need Jesus. I need Him today. I can't go to work without meeting with Him. Can't embrace my family without meeting Him. I need Him every hour, as the hymn writer said. I need Thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like Thine can peace afford. I wonder what the story was as the hymn writer penned those words, what they were going through, where they cried out in such a wonderful song, I need Thee every hour. But That ought to be the cry of each one of our hearts, the prayer of each one of our hearts. I need you every single hour. Oh, walking with God daily is needful, but I want you to know it's possible. You can do it. You can do it. I've met older Christians who've been discouraged about walking with God, having time in the Word. I've met young Christians that have been discouraged. But I just want to tell you tonight, you can do it. You can do it. It's possible. He didn't put this verse in 1 John 1 and verse 7 as an impossible if. You can do it. He wrote this to believers like you and I. You can do it. You can walk with God. Walking is repeated steps. It's a way of living. I'm going to make this my way of living, knowing God and walking and being in the light of His countenance. I'm going to make this His way of living. And let me just encourage you, just take the next step. What's the next step? Tomorrow morning when you wake up, walk with God. Tuesday morning when you wake up, walk with God. Don't worry so much about the year. Worry about tomorrow. What am I doing today? Am I walking with God right now? You say, it's 12 o'clock and I'm really anxious and I'm upset, I'm irritable, and I'm struggling with my relationships, I'm struggling at work. Pause, take a breath, get with God, get alone with God. As Nehemiah did when he was in the presence of the king, he prayed silently in his heart to God, Lord, I need you, and walk with God. But we need Him, and it is possible. It's possible. Just take the next step. Don't worry about the 365 steps. Take the next step. If you've given your children a job to do, and they worry about what comes after the job, and you say, no, 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 I want you just to worry about this right now. Just focus on this right now. Focus on getting this done, and then worry about that. Could we be like that this year? Focus on Monday, and then focus on Tuesday, and then focus on Wednesday. And listen, if you and I will do that, we'll walk with God every day. We'll walk with God every day. Take the next step. It's possible. Don't let past failure keep you from being presently faithful. Make sure that you're walking with God today. It's a daily thing. Oh, it's needful. You want to please God. You want to have His protection, stability. It's needful, but it's possible. And I want you to encourage one another here in the church to walk with God. Encourage your classmates. Walk with God. Possible. You see a believer that seems to be distancing themselves, come alongside of them. Help them walk with God. Encourage them. It's possible. Get back up. A just man falls 7 times and rises up again. Don't give up. Don't give up. It's possible. You can do it. Being in my Bible every single day and responding to the light it gives is the key to illuminated living. It's possible. You can do it. And let's do it in 2018. But I want you to notice there's a promise here. And it's a blessing that God gives us. I want you to notice that when we choose to walk with God and in the light, when we do it daily, there is a delightful walk that comes out of it. Notice first of all, there's constant communion. Constant. He says, we have fellowship one with another. It's not talking about one with another here. Although, the Bible talks a lot about fellowshipping with believers. They continued in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers, Acts 2 and verse 42. There's a lot of talk about fellowship in the Bible among believers, and we ought to share life together. But here is talking about fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Fellowship is sharing together, just as two best friends share life together. Do you have a friend that you love getting together with and you love talking with? You would go and before you know it, 3 hours would be gone because you just enjoy talking so much. I hope for the most of you, that's your spouse. You just love being with your spouse. They're your best friend. And you can just talk away and time flies and it's a blessing. That's the type of fellowship that's being talked about here. We're just sharing together. We're communing together. There's no hurry there. It's lovely. It's wonderful. It's a place you want to be. And he says, we have fellowship one with another. Now, as I think about this, to have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ like that is an amazing opportunity. That's what he wants from you and I. Fellowship together. sharing together. Jesus wants that from you. He's asking you. He's calling you to that. He says, listen, if you'll walk in the light as I am in the light, this is what's going to happen. We're going to get together, and time is going to be gone before we know it because we've been talking and communing, and you've been rejoicing in who I am and in the blessings that I bestow upon you, and we're having fellowship together. We're sharing together. We're enjoying this together. 1 John 1 and verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son. John wrote this to the believers to say, hey, I want you to have this fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to have it with us, but I want you to have it with the Father and with the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing it is that we can have constant communion with our Savior. I think about the song, some people love it, some people don't much like it. But it's a song that I sang growing up, I Come to the Garden Alone. How many of you have sung that since a child? It's a good old song. It's a picturesque song. I remember being with one preacher. We were talking about a song about Jesus' love. And he said, oh, it's so flowery. It doesn't have much substance to it. You know what? Sometimes when we talk about the relationship that we can have with Jesus Christ, it has to be put in poetic terms, beautiful terms. That's what in the garden is. I come to the garden alone. While the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear calling on my ear, the Son of God disposes. But you know, it's a beautiful thing to be able to walk in fellowship with God. There's nothing else like it. No friend on earth can touch the fellowship that we can have truly with the Son of God if we'll walk in the light as He is in the light. Oh, it's a delightful walk. And it's a walk that He wants us to have. And I wonder, how badly do you want it this year? But put aside the year, how badly do you want it for tomorrow? What do you need to set aside out of your life so that you can have that type of fellowship with the Son of God who wants it? He wants it with you. To revolutionize your life, if you'll set that aside, nothing is more important than that fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that constant communion. But I want you to notice also there's another promise there, complete cleansing. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness by merit of the cross. He offers us right relationship with God. Or even as a child, where we sin against our Father, we can come back to Him and say, I was wrong, please forgive me. And the Bible says in verse number 9, if we confess our sins, we say the same thing about our sins as God says about our sins, we are honest about our sin, He is faithful and just. He's right to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, the Son of God wants to cleanse us. He wants us to walk in purity before Him. And He says, if you'll walk in the light, as I am the light, I'm going to show you who God is. I'm going to show you what God wants. I'm going to show you where there's sin in your life, and you're going to be able to get it right, and we're going to be able to continue on in communion, and you're going to be able to continue on with a sense that I've forgiven you. And there's many who will struggle with wondering, did Jesus forgive me? Did God forgive me of that sin? I've confessed it many times to Him. I've asked Him His forgiveness. He says He will forgive you. Believe Him. Trust it. Go on. You don't have to walk on in guilt. You don't have to walk on in oppression. If you've come to Him and you've asked Him to forgive you, He says, I will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Praise God for the forgiveness of sins. Psalm 119, verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Boy, as I listen to the word of God, as I read it, I'm walking with Him in that light. He brings me to a point of cleansing. Bible goes on to say in Ephesians 5, verse 26, in the classic passage of talking about Christ and the church and the marriage relationship, in verse 26, He says that He, Jesus, might sanctify and cleanse it, the church, with a washing of water by the Word. Well, you want to be clean in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Be in the Word. Be in the Word. Have a daily relationship with the Word of God. And as we respond to the light of the Word, we're made to be clean. He cleanses us as we respond to it. Say, yes, Lord, that was wrong. I see that from Your Word right now. And so I ask Your forgiveness. But walking in the light is an amazing thing. And He's calling us to it. And if we'll make a deliberate choice to walk in that light, and if we'll make a daily choice to walk in the light, we're going to find it's going to be a delightful walk. We're going to find it to be a lumen living, living in the light as He is in the light. Not living in darkness the world brings about, but living in the light as He is in the light. And I want to just illustrate it in this way. Guys, if I could have the lights before we leave tonight, I want to just illustrate it and do my best to illustrate it to you tonight before we leave. Because if we can just remember that this daily walk with the Lord Jesus Christ is something that it's going to be as interactive as this. We read in Scripture that the Lord Jesus Christ, that God is long-suffering. How many of you struggle with patience? I can't see your hands, but how many of you struggle with patience? I do sometimes. How many struggle with irritability? I do sometimes. So we read in the Scriptures that God is long-suffering and he is constantly patient with us. He's working with us. And the Bible says His mercies are new to us every morning. And we read that in the Scriptures. And you know what? We say, you know what? I want to apply that to my life. I see this is who God is. And all around me, I see a lot of people irritable. I see people getting up on my bumper. I'm not going over the speed limit, so they get up on my bumper and they're cutting me off. It's the first time they can get around. And they're irritable and they're frustrated. They're not patient and whatever. But I see that my God is patient. He's long suffering. He's kind in that way. And so I'm going to put that into practice in my life. And all of a sudden, I have light to walk in. I walk forward, and God leads me forward. In my relationships, as I choose to practice the same long-suffering that I see about my God in Scripture, I have light to walk in, and I walk forward in that in the midst of a very dark world. Everyone around me is impatient, irritable, and frustrated, but I see this about my God, and I put it into practice. I walk in the light as He is in the light. Think about the truth of who God is. He's truthful. He always tells the truth. He's never one time lied to you or I. He's always truthful. We can bank on that. That's His character. God is truth. His word is truth. Everything about Him is truth. His essence is truth. If He were not truth, He could not be God. His very character is truth. And so I begin to read about this, and He tells me in the Ten Commandments that I'm not to bear false witness. He tells me in the Scriptures that I am to speak truth with my neighbor. I'm not to even allow the semblance of falsehood to be coming out of my mouth. I am not to lie at all. And so I see this in Scripture, and I say, you know what? Sometimes I shade the truth. I don't tell all the truth. I withhold the facts and so forth. But I really want to be truthful like my God. I want to be truthful with my spouse. I want to be open. I want to be truthful with my children. I want to be truthful with my coworkers, my employer. And so I begin to put that into practice, and I walk in the light. I walk in the light. Everyone around me is walking in darkness. The world's even saying, hey, don't tell the truth. It's just going to get you in more trouble. You say, even if it hurts, I'm going to tell the truth because my God is truthful, and I'm going to walk in the light as He is in the light. So you get the picture. Walking in light is simply taking what I know about my God and what He wants for me and putting it into daily practice in my life. But the only way that I know about that is if I'm in the Word. The world is going to their playbook. They're going to their talk shows. They're going to the Dr. Phil's, and they're going to a lot of different places to get their information. And the advice on how to live and to walk in life. But that's all confusion and darkness, and there may be elements of truth in it, but for the most part, there's confusion, darkness, and so forth. And God's saying, if you'll just get My Word, I'm going to give you light. The entrance of My words into your life is going to give light. And I'm going to give you light by which to walk in the midst of a very dark world. You're not going to have to walk how you used to walk. I'm going to give you light to walk in. So let me just encourage you this year. Make sure that you're walking in the light as He is in the light. Take the Word of God that you're going to begin to embark upon tomorrow morning and put it into practice. Put it into practice. Look for that one thing. God, who are You and what do You want from me? And help me to put it into practice. Help me to walk in the light as You're in the light. And I know that if we'll do that, it'll be a remarkable 2018, not because of who we are, but because God is truthful. And if we walk with Him in that way, can make an incredible difference, no matter who you are. You don't have to be super learned. You can take the most simple truths from the Word of God and put them into practice, and it's going to make an amazing difference in your life. Let's walk in the light as He is in the light. Would you bow with me?
Thank you for listening today. We invite you to find out more about Jesus at our website, gracebaptistofkettering.org. And remember, you're always welcome at Grace Baptist Church.